This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by J.P. Morrell, who will be the grand poobah of the crew of Allah tomorrow night. Or is it Grand Marshal or the Maharaja? What is it, J.P.?
I think all those titles are appropriate. I think it's officially the Grand Marshal, but
oh, of course they are, right?
I might go with that one instead.
You're excited about the ride tomorrow night?
I am. I've only ridden in a parade probably two or three times ever. So going from that to being the Grand Marshal of a parade, it's pretty exciting. I mean, I get to ride with my oldest teenage son and two of his friends, and hopefully my music selection will not embarrass them too much.
There you go. I'm sure it will. And it looks like the weather's going to be great. So with that, let's start off with Mardi Gras. I mean, what are you hearing? Obviously, Sear 1 rating this year. We've got two weekends behind us, headed into the big weekend this week, starting tomorrow night with your reign. Your thoughts?
I think that things are going about as well as could be expected. I am pleasantly surprised with the compromise NOPD did with the shalom that is down St. Charles now of water barricades. I think that based upon the ideas that were pitched to me to prevent vehicular interactions with the route, that was the least obstructive way of dealing with it. And though it does add a bit of a headache to the morning commute, I think that most people would prefer there be a navigable, lakeside of St. Charles, a navigable lakeside of Canal Street, that isn't simply barricaded off and unusable for a week.
Yeah, I have not seen it, but obviously you can drive through it, so that makes all the difference in the world.
Right, and I mean, basically, it provides the safety necessary to prevent someone from doing a similar attack to what happened on January 1st. You cannot accelerate in any direct way down it, and it gives law enforcement plenty of opportunities to someone attempt to do something to be able to contain them fairly quickly. So, I mean, I think it was the best compromise that could have been reached to both provide safety, but also provide people with the ability to navigate uptown and through mid-city.
What are you hearing, if anything at all, about the French Quarter?
There's the short-term and long-term plans. Obviously, my understanding right now of the French Quarter is a similar safety protocol to we had during Super Bowl. I mean, arguably no coolers, but guns allowed. Doesn't really seem like a great safe environment, but that's where we're at right now. I do think there are some conversations happening at the highest levels, including the mayor, including the council, including business owners, to see about potentially having Bourbon Street be a full-time pedestrian mall, or other similar long-term changes to the French Quarter to make it safer for pedestrians and for tourists and for the residents there as well.
Yeah, it's always a delicate balance, right? That's always been the challenge politically more so than anything else over the past decades.
Well, it has, and in particular, like, there always has to be an access issue, because even with a full pedestrian Bourbon Street, the French Quarter is an old neighborhood. You can't make it fully pedestrian permanently no matter what, because you still have to have fire trucks have access to every building in the French Quarter. So it's always going to be kind of a difficult dance, but I do think that there has to be a conversation about long-term security changes in the quarter. What that looks like is still being negotiated. Obviously, it's going to impact Bourbon directly, probably Royal and some of the other adjacent streets as well. But that is going to be a conversation that will be done publicly and transparently with opportunities for input, but security and safety will be trumping inconvenience at this point.
And with today's technologies, I mean, we're a lot more advanced with the utilization or the implementation of some of these remedial measures than we were 10 years ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, essentially, with the amount of cameras that were installed under Mayor Landrieu, the ability for the city to track in real time what's going on is not a problem. The problem we had, Newell, as you know this, during the January 1st attack is we have all the cameras. We don't have the bodies to man them. The challenge there might be solved with developments in AI, or it might just be solved by the city actually hiring up at the real-time crime center to actually have the eyeballs during major events to look for things, because there is always going to be an intersection between manpower and technology, and it's not something that can be solved with a software just yet. So, I mean, there's some challenges, but the city is committed to meeting those challenges in whichever way they have to be met.
Absolutely. Let's pivot, if you don't mind, to the deal that was worked out between the city and the school board. I read somewhere where the mayor didn't show up at a particular hearing. Where do we stand with that issue?
It's in Judge Shepard's court. Judge Shepard had the original lawsuit regarding the $130 to $150 million the school board is entitled to because of the city charging an illegal administrative fee. The council and the school board and the administration had negotiated a settlement where we would give them $20 million cash up front because they obviously had some issues with a misjudgment on revenue for 2025, as well as a commitment for an additional $70 million for the city to pay for some ongoing programs and services that both the city and school board decided were important, such as mental health, the Travis School Skill, the Travis Hill School for Incarcerated Youth, as well as Youth Force NOLA that provides job training for kids who want to go into other different vocations. That agreement, the mayor pulled out of at the last minute in the new year, alleging that the city was broke. As you know, this Thursday, we've had multiple hearings trying to uncover where the secret deficit exists. We have not found any information that validates the mayor's position that we are in deficit. However, the head of the Department of Finance maintains that we are on a horrific fiscal cliff and that if we pay the schools the money they're owed, everything's going to go south. And so, as you've probably heard, until we get information of the contrary, we're going to take the CFO at her word, and we will begin the process of trimming spending starting on Thursday. The first step in that will be putting tremendous restrictions on city credit cards for both the council, the mayor, and all departments, and completely restricting unnecessary travel because, Newell, if we're broke, we shouldn't have to go flying around the world or the country or anywhere else unless it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah, I don't know what's worse, right, if we're actually in this fiscal plight, or if they potentially misled you guys about the fiscal plight. I mean, there's no win in this situation, as I see it.
Well, I mean, Newell, as you said, it's like it's difficult. It's like it feels like from what we've seen thus far, and this restriction we're passing on Thursday will be in effect till the end of April after the next revenue estimating conference. For those of you who don't know, the city quarterly meets as a revenue estimating conference where we basically get economists to come in and estimate if our revenue is on track for that given year. That revenue estimating conference is really the most public way for us to find out how much money we have, because the administration is not being forthcoming with how much we actually have. And we expected a presentation at our last budget meeting last week with the receipts to support the deficit. And to date, we have no receipts to support the deficit other than bizarre interpretations of ordinances and rules that I guess could create a fictitious deficit, but don't. I mean, it's kind of wild in that it feels like they're so committed to the bit that we're broke that they won't back off and just say, maybe we were wrong about being broke and we just don't want to pay for the school kids. But if they want to commit to the bit and they want to continue to hold to this position that we are on the imminent edge of secret bankruptcy, then all we can do as a council, Newell, is curb spending. That's it.
JP, this, I got to ask this question. I mean, as you know, I used to be the tax collector, and every month we'd send a report to the administration of what was collected for ad valorem taxes. Typically, the lion's share of that money comes in at one point in time, you know, end of the year, beginning of the year. Y'all are the same way. It's just we collect in arrears and y'all collect in advance. And we'd also send a monthly sales tax report to the administration. It was disseminated to each and every one of the council members. They knew exactly how much revenue came in annually and monthly through sales taxes and fines and fees. On that, y'all don't get that report? Y'all don't get a report like that?
No. Well, I mean, I think the difference there is that in Jefferson Parish and most other parishes, the sheriff is a standalone elected official who takes his responsibility seriously and treats everyone the exact same. The difference in New Orleans is the finance department is a subdivision of the administrative branch, the executive branch of government. And therefore, the head of the finance department answers only really to the mayor of the city of New Orleans. So if a mayor or individual has committed to the fact that we have a deficit and they are not required to present the documentation, because the reality is this, as far as our revenue, even the deputy of the finance department acknowledged our revenue right now is on track to be plus or minus 2.5% of where it should be. The issue right now we're having is they keep saying we have secret costs that are creating the deficit. One great example is they cited a law that ordinance that Joe DiRusso passed regarding the city making a plan as to how they were going to pay off the massive judgment list we have, which I'm sure you and your listeners are aware of. The ordinance that Joe passed required the city attorney to show up on January 1, 2025 with a plan from now through 2027 to begin to whittle down that list. They chose to interpret that. First off, the city attorney has never presented a plan on how to pay off these debts, which is required by the ordinance. But the finance department decided to act as if every single judgment was due on January 1st and it had wiped out the our rainy day fund, which is not even like a slightly bad interpretation of the ordinance. It is the most bizarre, ridiculous interpretation of the council requiring the city attorney to show us a plan that we'd have to approve to pay off judgments, if that makes sense.
Well,
it doesn't
first
make
off,
sense,
that,
but you know what I mean. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, that whole approach is fiscally irresponsible. I mean, you're not living up to your fiduciary obligation to keep the legislative branch of city government informed as to where our finances are. I mean, that's just absolutely crazy. I mean, I simply do not understand. So how do we hold the revenue department accountable as it relates to collection rates? What do we even know? What their collection rate is in sales taxes, or what their collection rate is in ad valorem taxes, or any of that? I mean, there's no reports given to the council.
Joe and our budget committee stay pretty on top of revenue. The issue that we're having right now is that on one hand, they're not saying, Newell, that our revenue is off. They're saying our spending is too high.
Yeah, I understand. But the only way you can back in to these numbers to understand exactly where you are, you know, there's always been this thought process that maybe, you know, the city's revenue base is actually large enough to do what needs to be done in the city. And this comes down to a priority of the spend, the manner in which you spend, the efficiency, and also the efficiency of the collection side as well. They all work hand in glove with one another. Well, if they're not willing to tell you and give you the true story about expenditures, it would be nice to know exactly where we are from a revenue perspective and whether or not there's more revenue out there to be collected and how you go about doing
Well, Newell, to that point, we kept hitting them. So there are two massive pots of money the administration is aware of that they refuse to collect on. One, we have $135 million in tickets that have never been collected. That's traffic, that's parking, that's all the tickets. $135 million. Before the state preempted
Hold that right there. Let us get to a break, okay. And we'll be right back. Do you mind? Okay, J.P. Morrell's with us, New Orleans City Council member. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with J.P. Morrell, a New Orleans City Council member at large. So, J.P., you were talking about $135 million worth of traffic tickets that they've not collected on, and you were about to get on another topic there.
Yeah, so this is just cursory Joe DiRusso rattling off the top of his head. We have $135 million in uncollected traffic tickets. Before the state preempted us, we have a $35 million fine against Uber that hasn't been collected. And as you've seen through extensive reporting, we're not even timely doing permits, which, as you know, Newell, are a tremendous amount of city revenue. I mean, when permits are done timely, particularly building permits, they are very lucrative to support city services. Our permitting department has pretty much collapsed. So if permits were coming in, we have buildings being built up in this city currently where they aren't pulling a building permit, which, as you know, a building permit is tied to the size and scope of the construction. we're providing the services, fire, police, the like, to all these buildings being built where they're not even paying their permits because we're not collecting them properly.
Right. No, I mean, those are the things about the revenue side that are all too important, not to mention the impact that it has because of the delay on economic development. I mean, you got people that
Absolutely.
Say, man, I'm not building in the city. You know, I mean, it's like, but yet there's so much opportunity there, right?
There is. And the reality is, rather than prioritizing and revamping these departments to maximize revenue, which would also benefit, you know, developers, homeowners. I mean, because these permits aren't being done. They're not just large, you know, skyscrapers. They're people trying to do an addition on their house. All these things aren't being done. So, I mean, it's just there seems to be more of an effort to score quick political wins and pick senseless fights. Think about it this way. Going back to the school board situation, the city's exposure on the school board is as much as $150 million. The school board and the school board and the city came to an agreement where we're paying $20 million in cash and $7 million a year over 10 years for programs that benefit the school board and the city. And these programs, which currently exist, are directly tied to the drop in the overall crime rate. How is that a bad deal, Newell? I mean, a structured settlement with $20 million up front, $7 million over 10 years, $90 million total, and $160 million exposure, a lawyer would tell you take that deal.
No, absolutely. There's no rhyme or reason to this. I guarantee you, if maybe give me that $135 million on traffic tickets and just give me a percentage of that, watch how much I collect.
Exactly.
I can promise you it'll be collected for sure. As always, we truly appreciate your time. We know you're busy. Thank you so much for joining us today, JP Morrell. Have a great ride as the Grand Poobah tomorrow night with Ella.
I appreciate that. Have a great weekend.
You too, my friend. We'll be right back.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.